pilot for 4 years. Her smile is infectious. You're safe with me, I reassure her, and add, well, while we're flying. I give her a wink, she beams, and I'm dazzled. Are you ready? I ask, and I can't quite believe how excited I am to have her here beside me. She nods. I talk to the tower, they're awake, and increase the throttle to 2,000 RPM. Once they've given us clearance, I do my final checks. Oil temperature is at 104. Good. I increase the manifold pressure to 14, the engine to 2,500 RPM, and pull back on the throttle. And like the elegant bird she is, Charlie Tango rises into the air. Anastasia gasps as the ground disappears below us, but she holds her tongue, entranced by the waning lights of Portland. Soon we are shrouded in darkness. The only light emanates from the instruments before us. Anna's face is illuminated by the red and green glow as she stares into the night. Eerie, isn't it? Though I don't find it so. To me, this is a comfort. Nothing can harm me here. I'm safe and hidden in the dark.
How do you know you're going the right way? Anna asks.
Here. I point to the panel. I don't want to bore her talking about instrument flight rules, but the fact is it's all the equipment in front of me that guides us to our destination. The attitude indicator, the altimeter, the VSI, and of course the GPS. I tell her about Charlie Tango and how she's equipped for night flight. Anna looks at me, amazed. There's a helipad on top of the building I live in. That's where we're heading. I look back at the panel, checking all the data. This is what I love, the control. My safety and well-being reliant on my mastery of the technology in front of me. When you fly at night, you fly blind. You have to trust the instrumentation, I tell her.
How long will the flight be? She asks,
a little breathless. Less than an hour. The wind is in our favor. I glance at her again. You okay, Anastasia?
Yes,
she says, her voice oddly abrupt. Is she nervous? Or maybe she's regretting her decision to be here with me. The thought is unsettling. She hasn't given me a chance. I'm distracted by air traffic control for a moment. Then, as we clear cloud cover, I see Seattle in the distance, a beacon blazing in the dark. Look, over there. I direct Anna's attention to the bright lights.
Do you always impress women this way? Come and fly in my helicopter?
I've never brought a girl up here, Anastasia. It's another first for me. Are you impressed?
I'm awed, Christian, she whispers.
Awed? My smile is spontaneous, and I remember Grace, my mother, stroking my hair as I read out loud from The Once and Future King.
Christian, that was wonderful. I'm awed, darling boy.
I was 7 and had only recently started speaking.
You're just so competent, Anna continues.
Why, thank you, Miss Steele. My face warms with pleasure at her unexpected praise. I hope she doesn't notice.
You obviously enjoy this, she says a little later.
What?
Flying.
It requires control and concentration, 2 qualities I most enjoy. How could I not love it? Though my favorite is soaring.
Soaring?
Yes, gliding to the layperson. Gliders and helicopters, I fly them both. Perhaps I should take her soaring. Getting ahead of yourself, Gray. And since when do you take anyone soaring? Since when do I bring anyone in Charlie Tango? ATC refocuses me on the flight path, halting my rogue thoughts as we approach the outskirts of Seattle. We're close, and I'm closer to knowing whether this is a pipe dream or not. Anna is staring out the window, entranced. I can't keep my eyes off her. Please say yes. Looks good, doesn't it? I ask, so that she'll turn and I can see her face. She does, with a huge cock-tightening grin. We'll be there in a few minutes, I add.
Suddenly, the atmosphere in the cabin shifts, and I have a more heightened awareness of her. Breathing deeply, I inhale her scent and sense the anticipation. Anna's. Mine. As we descend, I take Charlie Tango through the downtown area toward Escala, my home, and my heart rate increases. Anna starts fidgeting. She's nervous, too. I hope she doesn't flee. As the helipad comes into view, I take another deep breath. This is it. We land smoothly and I power down, watching the rotor blades slow and come to a stop. All I can hear is the hiss of white noise over our headphones as we sit in silence. I remove my cans, then remove Anna's too. We're here, I say quietly. Her face is pale in the glow of the landing lights, her eyes luminous. Sweet Lord, she's beautiful. I unbuckle my harness and reach over to undo hers. She peers up at me, trusting, young, sweet. Her delicious scent is almost my undoing. Can I do this with her? She's an adult. She can make her own decisions. And I want her to look at me this way once she knows me, knows what I'm capable of. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. You know that, don't you? She needs to understand this. I want her submission, but more than that, I want her consent. I'd never do anything I didn't want to do, Christian. She sounds sincere, and I want to believe her. With those pacifying words ringing in my head, I climb out of my seat and open the door, then jump down onto the helipad. I take her hand as she exits the aircraft. The wind whips her hair around her face, and she looks anxious. I don't know if it's because she's here with me, alone, or if it's because we're 30 stories high. I know it's a giddy feeling being up here. Come. Wrapping my arm around her to shield her from the wind, I guide her to the elevator. We are both quiet as we make the short journey to the penthouse. She's wearing a pale green shirt beneath her black jacket. It suits her. I make a mental note to include blues and greens in the clothes I'll provide if she agrees to my terms. She should be better dressed. Her eyes meet mine in the elevator's mirrors as the doors open to my apartment. She follows me through the foyer, across the corridor, and into the living room. Can I take your jacket? I ask. Anna shakes her head and clutches the lapels to emphasize that she wants to keep her jacket on. Okay. Would you like a drink? I try a different approach and decide that I need a drink to steady my nerves. Why am I so nervous? Because I want her. I'm going to have a glass of white wine. Would you like to join me? Yes, please, she says. In the kitchen, I slip off my jacket and open the wine fridge. A Sauvignon Blanc would be a good icebreaker. Pulling out a serviceable Pouilly Fumé, I watch Anna peer through the balcony doors at the view. When she turns and walks back toward the kitchen, I ask if she'd be happy with the wine I've selected. I know nothing about wine, Christian. I'm sure it will be fine. She sounds subdued. Shit. This isn't going well. Is she overwhelmed? Is that it? I pour two glasses and walk to where she stands in the middle of my living room, looking every bit the sacrificial lamb. Gone is the disarming woman. She looks lost. Like me. Here. I hand her the glass, and she immediately takes a sip, closing her eyes in obvious appreciation of the wine. When she lowers the glass, her lips are moist. Good choice, Gray. You're very quiet, and you're not even blushing. In fact, I think this is the palest I've ever seen you, Anastasia. Are you hungry? She shakes her head and takes another sip. Maybe she's in need of some liquid courage, too. It's a very big place you have here, she says, her voice timid. Big? Big. It's big. There's no arguing with that. It is more than 10,000 square feet. Do you play? She looks at the piano. Yes. Well? Yes. Of course you do. Is there anything you can't do well?
Yes, a few things. Cook, tell jokes, make free and easy conversation with a woman I'm attracted to. Be touched. Do you want to sit? I gesture toward the sofa. A brisk nod tells me that she does. Taking her hand, I lead her there, and she sits down, giving me an impish look.
What's so amusing? I ask, as I take a seat beside her. Why did you give me Tess of the D'Urbervilles, specifically?
Oh, where is this going? Well, you said you liked Thomas Hardy.
Is that the only reason?
I don't want to tell her that she has my first edition, and that it was a better choice than Jude the Obscure. It seemed appropriate. I could hold you to some impossibly high ideal like Angel Clare, or debase you completely like Alec D'Urberville. My answer is truthful enough and has a certain irony to it. What I'm about to propose, I suspect, will be very far from her expectations.
If there are only two choices, I'll take the debasement, she whispers.
Damn. Isn't that what you want, Gray? Anastasia, stop biting your lip, please. It's very distracting. You don't know what you're saying.
That's why I'm here, she says, her teeth leaving little indentations on a bottom lip moist with wine.
And there she is, disarming once more, surprising me at every turn. My cock concurs. We are cutting to the chase on this deal, but before we explore the details, I need her to sign the NDA. I excuse myself and head into my study. The contract and NDA are ready on the printer. Leaving the contract on my desk, I don't know if we'll ever get to it, I staple the NDA together and take it back to Anna. This is a non-disclosure agreement. I place it on the coffee table in front of her. She looks confused and surprised. My lawyer insists on it, I add. If you're going for option two, debasement, you'll need to sign this.
And if I don't want to sign anything?
Then it's Angel Clare high ideals, well, for most of the book, anyway. And I won't be able to touch you. I'll send you home with Stefan, and I will try my very best to forget you. My anxiety mushrooms. This deal could all go to shit.
What does this agreement mean?
It means you cannot disclose anything about us, anything, to anyone. She searches my face, and I don't know if she's confused or displeased. This could go either way.
Okay, I'll sign, she says.
Well, that was easy. I hand her my Mont Blanc, and she places the pen at the signature line.
Aren't you even going to read it? I ask, suddenly annoyed. No.
Anastasia, you should always read anything you sign.
How could she be so foolish? Have her parents taught her nothing? Christian, what you fail to understand is that I wouldn't talk about us to anyone anyway, even Kate. So it's immaterial whether I sign an agreement or not. If it means so much to you or your lawyer, whom you obviously talk to, then fine, I'll sign.
She has an answer for everything. It's refreshing. Fair point well made, Miss Steele, I note dryly. With a quick, disapproving glance, she signs. And before I can begin my pitch, she asks,
Does this mean you're going to make love to me tonight, Christian?
What? Me?
Make love?
Oh, Gray, let's disabuse her of this straight away. No, Anastasia, it doesn't. First, I don't make love. I fuck hard. She gasps. That's made her think. Second, there's a lot more paperwork to do. And third, you don't yet know what you're in for. You could still run from here screaming. Come, I want to show you my playroom. She's nonplussed, the little V forming between her brows.
You want to play on your Xbox?
I laugh out loud.
Oh, baby.
No, Anastasia, no Xbox, no PlayStation. Come,
Standing, I offer her my hand, which she takes willingly. I lead her to the hallway and upstairs, where I stop outside the door to my playroom, my heart hammering in my chest. This is it. Pay or play. Have I ever been this nervous? Realizing my desires depend on the turn of this key, I unlock the door, and in that moment I need to reassure her. You can leave any time. The helicopter is on standby to take you whenever you want to go. You can stay the night and go home in the morning. It's fine, whatever you decide. Just open the damn door, Christian, she says with a mulish expression and her arms crossed. This is the crossroads. I don't want her to run, but I've never felt this exposed. Even in Elena's hands, and I know it's because she knows nothing about the lifestyle. I open the door and follow her into my playroom, my safe place, the only place where I'm truly myself. Anna stands in the middle of the room, studying all the paraphernalia that is so much a part of my life. The floggers, the canes, the bed, the bench. She's silent, drinking it in, and all I hear is the deafening pounding of my heart as the blood rushes past my eardrums. Now you know. This is me. She turns and gives me a piercing stare as I wait for her to say something, but she prolongs my agony and walks farther into the room, forcing me to follow her. Her fingers trail over a suede flogger, one of my favorites. I tell her what it's called, but she doesn't respond. She walks over to the bed, her hands exploring, her fingers running over one of the carved pillars. Say something, I ask. Her silence is unbearable. I need to know if she's going to run. Do you do this to people, or do they do it to you? Finally. People? I want to snort. I do this to women who want me to. She's willing to have a dialogue. There's hope. She frowns. If you have willing volunteers, why am I here? Because I want to do this with you, very much. Visions of her tied up in various positions around the room overwhelm my imagination. On the cross, on the bed, over the bench. Oh, she says, and wanders to the bench. My eyes are drawn to her inquisitive fingers stroking the leather. Her touch is curious, slow, and sensual. Is she even aware? You're a sadist, she says, startling me. Fuck, she sees me. I'm a dominant, I say quickly, hoping to move the conversation on. What does that mean? She inquires, shocked, I think. It means I want you to willingly surrender yourself to me, in all things. Why would I do that? To please me, I whisper. This is what I need from you. In very simple terms, I want you to want to please me. How do I do that? She breathes. I have rules, and I want you to comply with them. They are for your benefit and for my pleasure. If you follow these rules to my satisfaction, I shall reward you. If you don't, I shall punish you, and you will learn. And I can't wait to train you in every way. She stares at the canes behind the bench. And where does all this fit in? She waves at her surroundings. It's all part of the incentive package, both reward and punishment. So you'll get your kicks by exerting your will over me. Spot on, Miss Steele. It's about gaining your trust and your respect, so you'll let me exert my will over you. I need your permission, baby. I will gain a great deal of pleasure, joy even, in your submission. The more you submit, the greater my joy. It's a very simple equation. Okay, and what do I get out of this? Me. I shrug. That's it, baby. Just me. All of me. And you'll find pleasure, too. Her eyes widen fractionally as she stares at me, saying nothing. It's exasperating. You're not giving anything away, Anastasia. Let's go back downstairs where I can concentrate better. It's very distracting having you in here. I hold out my hand to her, and for the first time she looks from my hand to my face, undecided. Shit. I frightened her. I'm not going to hurt you, Anastasia. Tentatively, she puts her hand in mine. I'm elated. She hasn't run. Relieved, I decide to show her the submissive's bedroom. If you do this, let me show you. I lead her down the corridor. This will be your room. You can decorate it how you like, have whatever you like in here. My room? You're expecting me to move in? She squeaks in disbelief. Okay, maybe I should have left this until later. Not full time, I reassure her. Just say Friday evening through Sunday. We have to talk about all that. Negotiate, if you want to do this.
I'll sleep here?
Yes. Not with you. No, I told you, I don't sleep with anyone, except you when you're stupefied with drink.
Where do you sleep?
My room is downstairs. Come, you must be hungry.
Weirdly, I seem to have lost my appetite,
she declares, with her familiar stubborn expression. You must eat, Anastasia. Her eating habits will be one of the first issues I'll work on if she agrees to be mine. That and her fidgeting. Stop getting ahead of yourself, Gray. I'm fully aware that this is a dark path I'm leading you down, Anastasia, which is why I really want you to think about this. She follows me downstairs into the living room once more. You must have some questions. You've signed your NDA. You can ask me anything you want, and I'll answer. If this is going to work, she's going to have to communicate. In the kitchen, I open the fridge and find a large plate of cheese and some grapes. Gail wasn't expecting me to have company, and this is not enough. I wonder if I should order some takeout. Or perhaps take her out. Like a date. Another date. I don't want to raise expectations like that. I don't do dates. Only with her. The thought is irritating. There's a fresh baguette in the bread basket. Bread and cheese will have to do. Besides, she says she's not hungry. Sit. I point to one of the bar stools and Anna sits down and gives me a level gaze.
You mentioned paperwork, she says.
Yes.
What paperwork?
Well, apart from the NDA, a contract saying what we will and won't do. I need to know your limits, and you need to know mine. This is consensual, Anastasia.
And if I don't want to do this?
Shit. That's fine, I lie.
But we won't have any sort of relationship?
No.
Why?
This is the only sort of relationship I'm interested in.
Why?
It's the way I am.
How did you become this way?
Why is anyone the way they are? That's kind of hard to answer. Why do some people like cheese and other people hate it? Do you like cheese? Mrs. Jones, my housekeeper, has left this for a late supper. I place the plate in front of her.
What are your rules that I have to follow?
I have them written down. We'll go through them once we've eaten.
I'm really not hungry, she whispers.
You will eat. The look she gives me is defiant. Would you like another glass of wine? I ask, as a peace offering.
Yes, please.
I pour wine into her glass and sit down beside her. Help yourself to food, Anastasia. She takes a few grapes. That's it? That's all you're eating?
Have you been like this for a while? She asks.
Yes.
Is it easy to find women who want to do this?
Oh, if you only knew. You'd be amazed. My tone is wry.
Then why me? I really don't understand.
She's utterly bemused. Baby,
You're beautiful. Why wouldn't I want to do this with you? Anastasia, I've told you. There's something about you. I can't leave you alone. I'm like a moth to a flame. I want you very badly, especially now, when you're biting your lip again. I think you have that cliche the wrong way around, she says softly, and it's a disturbing confession. Eat, I order, to change the subject. No, I haven't signed anything yet, so I think I'll hang on to my free will for a bit longer, if that's okay with you. Oh, her smart mouth. As you wish, Miss Steele, and I hide my smirk. How many women? She asks, and she pops a grape into that mouth. 15. I have to look away. For long periods of time? Some of them, yes. Have you ever hurt anyone? Yes. Badly? No. Dawn was fine, if a little shaken by the experience. And if I'm honest, so was I. Will you hurt me? What do you mean? Physically, will you hurt me? Only what you can take. I will punish you when you require it, and it will be painful. For example, when you get drunk and put yourself at risk. Have you ever been beaten? She asks. Yes. Many, many times. Eleanor was devilishly handy with a cane. It's the only touch I could tolerate. Her eyes widen, and she puts the uneaten grapes on her plate and takes another sip of wine. Her lack of appetite is irritating and is affecting mine. Perhaps I should just bite the bullet and show her the rules. Let's discuss this in my study. I want to show you something. She follows me and sits in the leather chair in front of my desk as I lean against it, arms folded. This is what she wants to know. It's a blessing that she's curious. She hasn't run yet. From the contract laid out on my desk, I take one of the pages and hand it to her. These are the rules. They may be subject to change. They form part of the contract, which you can also have. Read these rules and let's discuss. Her eyes scan the page. Hard limits? She asks. Yes, what you won't do, what I won't do, we need to specify in our agreement. I'm not sure about accepting money for clothes. It feels wrong. I want to lavish money on you. Let me buy you some clothes. I may need you to accompany me to functions. Gray, what are you saying? This would be a first. And I want you dressed well. I'm sure your salary, when you do get a job, won't cover the kind of clothes I'd like you to wear.
I don't have to wear them when I'm not with you?
No.
Okay. I don't want to exercise 4 times a week.
Anastasia, I need you supple, strong, and with stamina. Trust me, you need to exercise.
But surely not 4 times a week. How about 3?
I want you to do 4.
I thought this was a negotiation.
Again, she's disarming, calling me out on my shit. Okay, Miss Steele, another point well made. How about 1 hour on 3 days and 1 day half an hour?
3 days, 3 hours. I get the impression you're going to keep me exercised when I'm here.
Oh, I hope so. Yes, I am. Okay, agreed. Are you sure you don't want to intern at my company? You're a good negotiator.
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Of course she's right. And it's my number one rule. Never fuck the staff. So limits. These are mine. I hand her the list. This is it. Shit or bust time. I know my limits by heart and mentally tick off the list as I watch her read through. Her face grows paler and paler as she nears the end. Fuck. I hope this isn't frightening her off. I want her. I want her submission. Badly. She swallows, glancing nervously up at me. How can I persuade her to give this a try? I should reassure her, show her that I'm capable of caring. Is there anything you'd like to add? Deep down, I hope she won't add anything. I want carte blanche with her. She stares at me, still at a loss for words. It's irritating. I'm not used to waiting for answers. Is there anything you won't do? I prompt. I don't know. Not the response I was expecting. What do you mean you don't know? She shifts in her seat, looking uncomfortable, her teeth toying with her bottom lip. Again.
I've never done anything like this.
Hell, of course she hasn't. Patience, Gray, for fuck's sake. You've thrown a great deal of information at her. I continue my gentle approach. It's novel. Well, when you've had sex, was there anything that you didn't like doing? And I'm reminded of the photographer fumbling all over her yesterday. She flushes, and my interest is piqued. What has she done that she didn't like? Is she adventurous in bed? She seems so innocent. Normally, I don't find that attractive. You can tell me, Anastasia. We have to be honest with each other, or this isn't going to work. I really have to encourage her to loosen up. She won't even talk about sex. She's squirming again and staring at her fingers. Come on, Anna. Tell me, I order. Sweet Lord, she's frustrating.
Well, I've not had sex before, so I don't know.
She whispers. The earth stops spinning. I don't fucking believe it. How? Why? Fuck. Never? I'm incredulous. She shakes her head, eyes wide. You're a virgin? I don't believe it. She nods, embarrassed. I close my eyes. I can't look at her. How the hell did I get this so wrong? Anger lances through me. What can I do with a virgin? I glare at her as fury surges through my body. Why the fuck didn't you tell me? I growl and start pacing my study. What do I want with a virgin? She shrugs apologetically, at a loss for words. I don't understand why you didn't tell me. The exasperation is clear in my voice.
The subject never came up, she says. I'm not in the habit of revealing my sexual status to everyone I meet. I mean, we hardly know each other.
As ever, it's a fair point. I can't believe I've given her the bus tour of my playroom. Thank heavens for the NDA. Well, you know a lot more about me now, I snarl. I knew you were inexperienced, but a virgin. Hell, Anna, I just showed you not only the playroom, my rules, hard limits. She knows nothing. How could I do this? May God forgive me, I mutter under my breath. I'm at a loss. A startling thought occurs to me. Our one kiss in the elevator. Where I could have fucked her there and then? Was that her first kiss? Have you ever been kissed apart from by me? Please say yes.
Of course I have.
She looks offended. Yeah, she's been kissed, but not often. And for some reason the thought is pleasing. And a nice young man hasn't swept you off your feet? I just don't understand. You're 21, nearly 22. You're beautiful. Why hasn't some guy taken her to bed? Shit, maybe she's religious. No, Welch would have uncovered that. She gazes down at her fingers, and I think she's smiling. She thinks this is funny. I could kick myself. And you're seriously discussing what I want to do when you have no experience. Words fail me. How can this be? How have you avoided sex? Tell me, please. Because I don't get it. She's in college, and from what I remember of college, all the kids were fucking like rabbits. All of them. Except me. The thought is a dark one, but I push it aside for the moment. Anna shrugs, her small shoulders lifting slightly.
No one's really, you know...
She trails off. No one has what? Seen how attractive you are? No one's lived up to your expectations? And I do? Me? She really knows nothing. How could she ever be a submissive if she has no idea about sex? This is not going to fly, and all the groundwork I've done has been for nothing. I can't close this deal.
Why are you so angry with me?
She whispers. Of course she would think that. Make this right, Gray. I'm not angry with you. I'm angry at myself. I just assumed... Why the hell would I be angry with you? What a mess this is. I run my hands through my hair, trying to rein in my temper. Do you want to go? I ask, concerned.
No, unless you want me to go,
she says softly, her voice tinged with regret. Of course not. I like having you here. The statement surprises me as I say it. I do like having her here. Being with her. She's so different. And I want to fuck her and spank her and watch her alabaster skin pink beneath my hands. That's out of the question now, isn't it? Perhaps not the fucking. Perhaps I could. The thought is a revelation. I could take her to bed, break her in. It would be a novel experience for both of us. Would she want to? She asked me earlier if I was going to make love to her. I could try without tying her up. But she might touch me. Fuck. I glance down at my watch and note the time. It's late. When I look back at her, the sight of her toying with her bottom lip arouses me. I still want her, in spite of her innocence. Could I take her to bed? Would she want to, knowing what she knows about me now? Hell, I have no idea. Do I just ask her? But she's turning me on, biting her lip again. I point it out, and she apologizes. Don't apologize. It's just that I want to bite it too, hard. Her breath hitches. Oh, maybe she's interested. Yes, let's do this. My decision is made. Come, I offer, holding out my hand.
What?
We are going to rectify the situation right now.
What do you mean? What situation?
Your situation. Anna, I'm going to make love to you now.
Oh.
That's if you want to. I mean, I don't want to push my luck.
I thought you didn't make love. I thought you fucked hard.
She says, her voice husky and so damned seductive. Her eyes wide, pupils dilating. She's flushed with desire. She wants this too. And a wholly unexpected thrill unfurls inside me. I can make an exception, or maybe combine the two, we'll see. I really want to make love to you. Please come to bed with me. I want our arrangement to work, but you really need to have some idea what you're getting yourself into. We can start your training tonight. With the basics. This doesn't mean I've come over all hearts and flowers. It's a means to an end, but one that I want, and hopefully you do too. The words rush out in a torrent. Gray, get a hold of yourself. Her cheeks pink. Come on, Anna. Yes or no, I'm dying here.
But I haven't done all the things you require from your list of rules.
Her voice is timid. Is she afraid? I hope not. I don't want her to be afraid. Forget about the rules. Forget about all those details for tonight. I want you. I've wanted you since you fell into my office. And I know you want me. You wouldn't be sitting here calmly discussing punishment and hard limits if you didn't. Please, Anna, spend the night with me. I offer her my hand again, and this time she takes it, and I pull her into my arms, holding her flush against my body. She gasps with surprise, and I feel her against me. The darkness is quiet,
perhaps subdued by my libido. I want her. She's so alluring. This girl confounds me every step of the way. I've revealed my dark secret, yet she's still here. She hasn't run. My fingers tug at her hair, pulling her face up to mine, and I gaze into captivating eyes. You are one brave young woman, I breathe. I am in awe of you. I lean down and gently kiss her, then tease her lower lip with my teeth. I want to bite this lip. I tug harder and she whimpers. My cock hardens in response. Please, Anna, let me make love to you, I whisper against her mouth. Yes, she responds, and my body lights up like the 4th of July. Get a grip, Gray. We have no arrangement in place, no limits set. She's not mine to do with as I please, and yet I'm excited, aroused. It's an unfamiliar but exhilarating feeling, desire for this woman coursing through me. I'm at the tipping edge of a giant roller coaster. Vanilla sex. Can I do this? Without another word, I lead her out of my study, through the living room, and down the corridor to my bedroom. She follows, her hand tightly holding mine. Shit. Contraception. I'm sure she's not on the pill. Fortunately, I have condoms for backup. At least I don't have to worry about every dick she's slept with. I release her by the bed, walk over to my chest of drawers, and remove my watch, shoes, and socks. I assume you're not on the pill. She shakes her head. I didn't think so. From the drawer, I take out a packet of condoms, letting her know I'm prepared. She studies me, her eyes impossibly large in her beautiful face, and I have a moment's hesitation. This is supposed to be a big deal for her, isn't it? I remember my first time with Elena, how embarrassing it was. But what a heaven-sent relief. Deep down, I know I should send her home. But the simple truth is, I don't want her to go. And I want her. What's more, I can see my desire reflected in her expression, in her darkening eyes. Do you want the blinds drawn? I ask.
I don't mind, she says. I thought you didn't let anyone sleep in your bed.
Who says we're going to sleep?
Oh.
Her lips form a perfect small O. My cock hardens further. Yes, I'd like to fuck that mouth, that O. I stalk toward her like she's my prey. Oh, baby, I want to bury myself in you. Her breathing is shallow and quick. Her cheeks are rosy. She's wary but excited. She's at my mercy, and knowing that makes me feel powerful. She has no idea what I'm going to do to her. Let's get this jacket off, shall we? Reaching up, I gently push her jacket off her shoulders, fold it, and place it on my chair. Do you have any idea how much I want you, Anna Steele? Her lips part as she inhales, and I reach up to touch her cheek. Her skin is petal soft beneath my fingertips as they glide down to her chin. She's entranced, lost under my spell. She's already mine. It's intoxicating. Do you have any idea what I'm going to do to you? I murmur, and hold her chin between my thumb and forefinger. Leaning down, I kiss her firmly, molding her lips to mine. Returning my kiss, she's soft and sweet and willing, and I have an overwhelming need to see her, all of her. I make quick work of her buttons, slowly peeling off her blouse and letting it fall to the floor. I stand back to look at her. She's wearing the pale blue bra that Taylor bought. She's stunning. Oh, Anna, you have the most beautiful skin, pale and flawless. I want to kiss every single inch of it. There's not a mark on her. The thought is unsettling. I want to see her marked, pink, with tiny thin welts from a crop, maybe. She colors a delicious rose, embarrassed, no doubt. If I do nothing else,
I will teach her not to be shy of her body. Reaching up, I pull her hair tie, freeing her hair. It tumbles lush and chestnut around her face, down to her breasts. I like brunettes. She's lovely, exceptional, a jewel. Holding her head, I run my fingers through her hair and pull her to me, kissing her. She moans against me and parts her lips, allowing me access to her warm, wet mouth. The sweet, appreciative noise echoes through me, to the end of my cock. Her tongue shyly meets mine, tentatively probing my mouth, and for some reason her fumbling inexperience is hot. She tastes luscious. Wine, grapes, and innocence. A potent, heady mix of flavors. I fold my arms tightly around her, relieved that she grips only my upper arms. With one hand in her hair, holding her in place, I run my other hand down her spine to her ass and push her against me, against my erection. She moans again. I continue to kiss her, coaxing her unschooled tongue to explore my mouth as I explore hers. My body tenses when she moves her hands up my arms, and for a moment I worry where she'll touch me next. She caresses my cheek, then strokes my hair. It's a little unnerving, but when she twists her fingers in my hair, pulling gently, damn, that feels good. I groan in response but can't let her continue. Before she can touch me again, I push her against the bed and drop to my knees. I want her out of these jeans. I want to strip her, arouse her some more, and keep her hands off me. Grasping her hips, I run my tongue just north of the waistband up to her navel. She tenses and inhales sharply. Fuck, does she smell and taste good? An orchard in springtime, and I want my fill. Her hands fist in my hair once more. This I don't mind. In fact, I like it. I nip her hip bone, and her grip tightens in my hair. Her eyes are closed, her mouth slack, and she's panting. As I reach up and undo the button on her jeans, she opens her eyes and we study each other. Slowly I ease down the zipper and move my hands around her ass. Slipping my hands inside the waistband, my palms against the soft cheeks of her behind, I slide her jeans off. I can't stop myself. I want to shock her, test her boundaries right now. Not taking my eyes off hers, I deliberately lick my lips, then lean forward and run my nose up the center of her panties, inhaling her arousal. Closing my eyes, I savor her. Lord, she's enticing. You smell so good. My voice is husky with want, and my jeans are becoming extremely uncomfortable. I need to take them off. Gently, I push her onto the bed, and, grasping her right foot, I make quick work of removing her sneaker and sock. To tease her, I run my thumbnail along her instep, and she writhes gratifyingly on the bed, her mouth open, watching me, fascinated. Leaning down, I trace my tongue along her instep, and my teeth graze the little line that my thumbnail has left in its wake. She lies back on the bed, eyes closed, groaning. She's so responsive, it's delightful. Oh, Anna, what I could do to you, I whisper, as images of her writhing beneath me in my playroom flash through my mind. Shackled to my four-poster bed, bent over the table, suspended from the cross. I could tease and torture her until she begged for release. The images make my jeans even tighter. Hell. Quickly, I remove her other shoe and sock and pull off her jeans. She's almost naked on my bed, her hair framing her face perfectly, her long, pale legs stretched out in invitation before me. I have to make allowances for her inexperience, but she's panting, wanting. Her eyes fixed on me. I've never fucked anyone in my bed before. Another first with Miss Steele. You're very beautiful, Anastasia Steele. I can't wait to be inside you. My voice is gentle. I want to tease her some more,
find out what she does know. Show me how you pleasure yourself, I ask, gazing intently down at her. She frowns. Don't be coy, Anna, show me. Part of me wants to spank the shyness out of her. She shakes her head.
I don't know what you mean.
Is she playing games? How do you make yourself come? I want to see. She remains mute. Clearly I've shocked her again.
I don't,
she mutters finally, her voice breathless. I gaze at her in disbelief. Even I used to masturbate, before Elena sunk her claws into me. She's probably never had an orgasm, though I find this hard to believe.
Whoa.
I'm responsible for her first fuck and her first orgasm. I'd better make this good. Well, we'll have to see what we can do about that. I'm going to make you come like a freight train, baby. Hell, she's probably never seen a naked man, either. Not taking my eyes off hers, I undo the top button on my jeans and ease them onto the floor, though I can't risk taking my shirt off because she might touch me. But if she did, it wouldn't be so bad, would it? Being touched. I banish the thought before the darkness surfaces, and grasping her ankles, I spread her legs. Her eyes widen, and her hands clench my sheets. Yes, keep your hands there, baby. I crawl slowly up the bed, between her legs. She squirms beneath me. Keep still, I tell her, and lean down to kiss the delicate skin of her inner thigh. I trail kisses up her thighs, over her panties, across her belly, nipping and sucking as I go. She writhes beneath me. We're going to have to work on keeping you still, baby. If you'll let me. I'll teach her to just absorb the pleasure and not move, intensifying every touch, every kiss, every nip. The thought alone is enough to make me want to bury myself in her. But before I do, I want to know how responsive she is. So far, she hasn't held back. She's allowing me free rein over her body. She's not hesitant at all. She wants this. She really wants this. I dip my tongue into her navel and continue my leisurely journey north, savoring her. I shift, lying beside her, one leg still between hers. My hand ghosts up her body, over her hip, up her waist, onto her breast. Gently I cup her breast, trying to gauge her reaction. She doesn't stiffen. She doesn't stop me. She trusts me. Can I extend her trust to letting me have complete dominion over her body? Over her? The thought is exhilarating. You fit my hand perfectly, Anastasia. Dipping my finger into her bra cup, I jerk it down, freeing her breast. The nipple is small, rose pink, and it's already hard. I drag the cup down so that the fabric and underwire rest under her breast, forcing it upward. I repeat the process with the other cup and watch, fascinated, as her nipples grow under my steady gaze. Whoa, I haven't even touched her yet. Very nice, I whisper in awed appreciation, and blow gently on the nearest nipple, watching in delight as it hardens and extends. Anastasia closes her eyes and arches her back. Keep still, baby. Just absorb the pleasure. It will feel so much more intense. Blowing on one nipple, I roll the other gently between my thumb and forefinger. She grasps the sheets tightly as I lean down and suck, hard. Her body bows again and she cries out. Let's see if we can make you come like this, I whisper, and I don't stop. She starts to whimper. Oh yes, baby. Feel this. Her nipples extend farther, and she starts grinding her hips around and around. Keep still, baby. I will teach you to keep still.
Oh, please,
she begs. Her legs stiffen. It's working. She's close. I continue my lascivious assault.
Concentrating on each nipple, watching her response, sensing her pleasure, is driving me to distraction. Lord, I want her. Let go, baby, I murmur, and pull her nipple with my teeth. She cries out as she climaxes. Yes. I move quickly to kiss her, capturing her cries in my mouth. She's breathless and panting, lost in her pleasure. Mine. I own her first orgasm, and I'm ridiculously pleased by the thought. You're very responsive. You're going to have to learn to control that, and it's going to be so much fun teaching you how. I can't wait. But right now I want her, all of her. I kiss her once more and let my hand travel down her body, down to her vulva. I hold her, feeling her heat. Slipping my index finger through the lace of her panties, I slowly circle around her. Fuck, she's soaking. You are so deliciously wet. God, I want you. I thrust my finger inside her and she cries out. She's hot and tight and wet, and I want her. I thrust into her again, taking her cries into my mouth. I press my palm to her clitoris, pushing down, pushing around. She cries out and writhes beneath me. Fuck, I want her. Now. She's ready. Sitting up, I drag her panties off, then my boxers, and reach for a condom. I kneel up between her legs, pushing them farther apart. Anastasia watches me with, what, trepidation? She's probably never seen an erect penis before. Don't worry, you expand too, I mutter. Stretching out over her, I put my hands on either side of her head, taking my weight on my elbows. God, I want her. But I check she's still keen. You really want to do this? I ask. For fuck's sake, please don't say no. Please, she begs. Pull your knees up, I instruct her. This'll be easier. Have I ever been so aroused? I can barely contain myself. I don't get it. It must be her. Why? Gray, focus. I position myself so I can take her at my whim. Her eyes are open wide, imploring me. She really wants this, as much as I do. Should I be gentle and prolong the agony, or do I go for it? I go for it. I need to possess her. I'm going to fuck you now, Miss Steele. Hard. One thrust, and I'm inside her. F-U-C-K. She's so fucking tight. She cries out. Shit, I've hurt her. I want to move, to lose myself in her, and it takes all my restraint to stop. You're so tight. You okay? I ask, my voice a hoarse, anxious whisper. And she nods, eyes wider. She's like heaven on earth, so tight around me. And even though her hands are on my forearms, I don't care. The darkness is slumbering, perhaps because I've wanted her for so long. I've never felt this desire, this hunger, before. It's a new feeling, new and shiny. I want so much from her. Her trust, her obedience, her submission. I want her to be mine, but right now, I'm hers. I'm going to move, baby. My voice is strained as I ease back slowly. It's such an extraordinary, exquisite feeling, her body cradling my cock. I push into her again and claim her, knowing no one has before. She whimpers. I stop. More? Yes, she breathes after a moment. This time I thrust into her more deeply. Again? I plead as sweat beads on my body. Yes. Her trust in me, it's suddenly overwhelming, and I start to move, really move. I want her to come. I will not stop until she comes.
I want to own this woman, body and soul. I want her clenching around me. Fuck.